Well, thank you guys so much for doing the talk back as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Briefly, just to get into it, can you guys tell me what brought each of you into musical improv and what your like story with it is, starting with you, D'Angelo?
Yeah, absolutely. excuse me. So I did improv, just standard boring improv through high school and college. Mm-hmm. High school was more just like standard long form, used to be style long form a little bit, but in a high school way.
Yeah.
And then college ended up, was a big shift into more comedy sports. So it was a lot of short form games. And then we would still do long form, but definitely not focus on it that much. And we did touch in a musical a little bit. And that was my kind of first foray into trying it. And it was very difficult doing it basically untrained, but it was super fun. And then I maybe took about a year or two off once I graduated college and moved to LA. And then I only got back into it this past year, 2024. Mm. And that's started back at UCB just in their normal classes, and then for getting into musical classes. And I've just been doing it since.
Yeah.
Kind of nonstop.
What about you, David?
I've always been a big improv comedy fan. But I went, like, I've heard so many stories of people doing it in college, and I'm so jealous of them because I was going to school for musical theater, and we were rehearsing all the time. Like, I could never do the improv there at school. And so it just was one of those things I'd never done. And I, like, love performing, love doing musical theater, but that did always feel like, you know, I'm not really expressing, aside from playing comedic roles and things, I'm not really expressing that side of myself. And so I just hadn't done it ever, really. And then the pandemic happened. And I think a lot of people had this kind of come to terms with, like, what am I doing? What do I want to do? What would bring me joy right now? And that was when I was like, as soon as I feel comfortable and in-person classes are back, I'm going to start taking classes. So I started taking classes with ultimately the idea that I would do musical improv. Because I just, when I first moved to LA, I went to UCB and saw a musical improv show. And I still remember moments from that show. It was so impactful for me. This has been described this way before, but it was truly like a magic trick. Like, it was just the most magical thing I'd ever seen. And like, so being able to do it has been like, I'm using my whole brain now. And so, yeah, I started taking classes and then found my way to doing more of it. Now I, you know, do it all the time. So,
yeah, it's funny how many people I guess it makes sense, but almost everyone I know on the musical improv scene ever has an apocryphal story of the first show they saw where they're like, oh, I want to do like that. Yeah, that feeling of like calls to like that I really want to do that thing. Yeah. What do you guys find yourself thinking about and working on in the practice of like getting better at this thing? Or what are you nerding out about these days?
Ooh. My goal is really like something I've admired. I think you do it really well. And some people is these choruses that really are fun hooks, like really fun. Yeah. Hook that sounds like a song, you know, that's something that like my brain has kind of been ruminating on a little bit. And also this idea of in narrative, just like what we did, I've just been thinking a lot about like, you don't have to have it all figured out. Have one idea, bring in one character, bring in one scene or setting even, and then play. Like that, the whole idea is to play and to figure it out together. You don't have to have it all figured out. So those are kind of the two things that have been fluttering around in my head right now.
Yes. Yeah. Trying to write the whole show in the first move is like where the brain fog comes from, I think. But that's just like you said, do one move and then let them do one move. That's the actual improv.
Yeah.
What about you, D'Angelo?
Yeah, I definitely echo a lot of what David just said. I, at least for me, with diving into narrative a lot recently, which is something I've always loved but never really gotten the chance to do. It's been fun making those discoveries and kind of learning all the foundational work of finding what's super funny, but then sticking to characters and sticking to certain things. And then you get to the part where you kind of not necessarily throw it out, but you get to, you know, play and have more fun and really feel like you're building something together. So I've just been thinking a lot narrative-wise. I'm thinking a lot about that. And also thinking about, from like a confidence side, really being able to jump out there with ideas that I have because people can't read my mind. And then I'll sit ruminating back on it, and I'm like, wait, I should actually just say this, and it could be useful.
Yeah, it's funny sometimes when you step out with something or you say something, and because it's your brain, you know exactly what you're thinking, and you think it's the clearest thing ever, and then someone comes out and says something completely different, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yes, I do think part of the practice of improv is, like, one of the hard skills is getting better at communicating the idea behind the idea a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Without, I mean, I think, and I, you know, now I'll pivot to what I've been thinking about, is, like, how to not do shows where all I'm doing is, like, pitching, is this funny?
Yeah.
And, like, not just, like, living in the experience. So it's like, last week on the show, Ali Gordon was on, and we talked about the two muscles of exploring as one muscle and, you know, sharpening or, like, clarifying and framing as the other. And so I think sometimes, I think my muscles are uneven, and so I want to work more on the exploring muscle, because I don't think within the first couple lines you need to be making game moves every time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to go deeper on the first thing you said, David, was about not about narrative game, but about hooky choruses. What are you doing to work on that?
I think, like, the ones that I really admire are ones that are a little more, well, like I said, like song-like, like maybe repeated, you know, things that are different from the way we talk. So maybe a repeated word or maybe a sound, you know, like something like that, that's incorporated, that's more musical. It's maybe more like instrument-like.
Yeah. Abstract.
Yeah. They don't have to just be a series of words or a phrase.
Yes.
And then also, like, the ones that I admire are the ones that are also kind of a little like,
like
maybe
tongue-in-cheek
or a double meaning, something like that, where it can be played different ways.
Yeah, like, I'm doing it for the glory
right,
goal.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And those are the best ones because those are ones that everyone can sing and kind of apply to whatever they're doing. I think, like, we can be really supportive musical improvisers when we're not creating choruses that are so unique to our character, if they're specific enough to the scene but also kind of vague enough that everyone can sing them, that's a really joyful thing.
Yeah.
It is so magical when it comes out that way.
Yeah,
whether from you or whether from myself or someone else, that sensation of, oh, it's actually musically pleasing. It is above all songwriting.
Yeah,
and then all the other layers on top of that.
Yeah.
It feels so good right away.
Right. Yeah. When that's the
right
magic
the
trick.
Like, noises, sounds, repeated words, and, like, abstract. It's funny, like, it almost falls into, like, abstracting the phrase.
Yeah.
Which is helpful. Like, rather than saying, like, you know, I'm in love with bunnies, I'm in love with bunnies, as the chorus. It's like, bunnies, 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 bunnies.
Right.
Love them, love them, bunnies, bunnies.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, oh, it's the same idea,
yeah,
but one is, like, condensed into poetry.
Yeah. And even technically, if I can add into that, it's also just easier to remember and easier to cue in with your scene partners and whoever's in the back line, just to get onto a really easy to sing chorus. And you can always add, I love adding flourishes down the line and kind of messing with the music of it all later.
Yeah, you can always add jokes. That's what those, like, you know, we talk about that, like, joke line availability.
Yeah.
You know, if a line is, you know, bunnies, 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 joke here, bunnies, bunnies.
Right.
So, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's something that I'm really, you know, have been thinking of and am trying to do, but, you know, we're all figuring that out.
Yeah, bad days are bad days.
Yeah.
What do you, well, let's talk about the set a little bit.
Yeah.
We can reflect on it, and that's one of the unique opportunities of this talkback style. Like, what do you feel like you really connected with? And what do you feel like, oh, this was hard, or like, oh, this move was out of my control, or let's just, like, do a little 2020 playback.
Well, I think for me, I think this set is a good example of why I like musical improv so much, because I like, I have a musical theater background. I like playing characters. I like making big, bold character choices, and those are so welcomed in musical improv. There's, you know, lots of, you know, non-musical improv types and styles and things, but this is where those really thrive and are helpful, and especially in a narrative, like, it's actually such an important thing. Like, we're doing a podcast, right? So we want to vocally know the differences between all these characters. So you need to know, you know, this is, you know, the mom or Eustace or the bird or whoever. And so something I like doing is now kind of vital to what it is.
Yeah.
And so that I really appreciate. And that's kind of something in this set that brought me a lot of joy. Like, I think everybody's got an old prospector character in them. And those are some of the funnest characters to do. And yeah, that was something I really enjoyed about it.
Yeah. And for me, at least, it was really cool to just jump head first into specifically this kind of narrative, and also narrative on a podcast, like what you're saying, David, just as something kind of out of my comfort zone. And it was very just exciting to feel the energy of just straight up playing and finding it all together. And especially with between three people, really, like, kind of to the point I was saying earlier, I have my moves and let me make them right now and as clearly as possible. Yeah, and just there's a lot of room for discovery, and yet, you know, you can lead the way when you need to.
Yeah, I think with three people, you know, any set with three people on stage or in a podcast, it's you have to do more than you would in a, you know, it's going to be proportional to how many people are there. So you're responsible for roughly a third of the material that comes to bear. I think the thing I find myself thinking about or wanting to work on is, like, just as you said, like, I like doing voices and characters. We did so many voices in a previous episode and impressions.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, not good at impressions. Uh-huh. And I find myself thinking as we get back, as I do more of this pod, like, maybe that's, like, I know you can work on impressions and work on vocal. I think I have vocal agility and vocal flexibility as a vocalist and a artist, but I don't know that I have that sort of, like, oh, this is where, like, Ray Romano lives, and this is where SpongeBob lives, you know, like, when I see people that move through those and can do that magic, I'm like, I might need a touch more of that on this pod for the clarity to the audience of the experience. On top of the million other things
you're doing,
you have to
playing
be thinking
and
about.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. 2020 for me on this episode is a new level of respect for Greg Smith, who sometimes comes on and plays and sings at the same time. Just how hard it is. I did feel like my brain could not be fully present in the spinning of imaginative and specific game. So sometimes I found myself heading more towards the arch or cliche because it's like the first layer deep of thought process. So I'm, because a part of my brain is taken up by this, you know, I can't pinpoint a moment when I did that. I don't think I played the show hack or something, but I just, I found myself like, whoa, my head is like doing two things.
Well, did you feel like, because, you know, someone like Greg, and, like, when you are, you know, you don't have to communicate to the accompanist. If you're singing, you don't have to communicate to the accompanist, like, I'm going into a chorus now. Like, did you feel any benefit of that while you were playing, or was it just, you know?
No, there's some benefit, Like, you know, you can nail a decrescendo or a retard. Like, you can nail slowing down because I'm doing both sides. I don't have to silently communicate with the accompanist. The thing that was hard was, like, there's this period when the pianist starts playing, but you're still in dialogue.
Yeah.
Right.
That I found particularly difficult to, because I, singing and playing is something I do as an artist all the time on guitar and piano when I go on tour. But I have it's very rare that I will be playing a character who's doing game and then start a piano thing while continuing to do dialogue. That was the part that I can tell is just like a learned skill that maybe takes, you know, a couple hours to get under your, so sometimes we'd be doing dialogue and then I'd start playing and I'd like
You're like, I'm playing now.
Yeah, it's over. Now. Don't ask me to talk until we sing.
Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard to do.
Fun though, but super. A set of skills that will one person in the world listening to this pod, like, oh, that's I resonate with that too.
Greg's
as someone who does that.
Yes,
specifically Greg.
I think that's one of the things I've like really appreciated about being in this community is the amazing talented people that we get to work with who accompany us. It's just like I don't know. It's funny now. I thought about it this morning because when I first was going to watch musical improv and doing it, and I would just be so impressed and be like, you know, be in practice with these people, these amazing pianists, and just and you know, and now you do it so much, it's like, okay, come on, you know, come in, you know,
just have to take them for granted.
It's like actually they are some of the most talented people that I've ever met in my life, and like just doing amazing things. So, it's so cool to have that proximity to people like that.
Anything else from the show that comes up in your mind in terms of, you know, either challenges or successes that you were thinking about?
So definitely I've been so used to recently a lot more structured style of a narrative show. And not that we didn't have structure in our narrative, but it was, I'm very used to like, you do your pro-tag song, you do your anti-tag song, and this. Which, at least
for a listener who might not know that, you're saying a song comes from the protagonist in the first scene, and the song comes in the antagonist in the second scene.
Yeah, the very prescribed ways of having a show go forward.
Yeah.
Which is always really fun, but it was really cool to kind of jump into this, not necessarily having to lean on that, and finding ways you can just have any character introduced and have them have a reason to propel the story forward. And at least for me, I was... At least with Eustace, I was like, okay, where am I going to go with this guy? Because I wasn't sure where he was yet.
Yeah.
So it felt fun to kind of just find that. And
we didn't really pluck him as the protag until scene three.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we were like, let's name this one and say he's the only one still here.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, we'll hang our hat on that. My philosophy with an antagonist is like, you only really... my feeling is like, I'm only going to introduce an antagonist if... it feels funny to do it.
Yeah.
Like, because there are shows without antagonists or where the antagonist is your own problem or the antagonist is, you know, we can't be together because of some outside circumstance. You know, like,
That's something I've thought about a lot in terms of structure because I went to musical theater school and,
as you've said,
I know, I've got to keep talking about it.
We get it.
But when you study musicals, you realize that the plots of musicals are exceedingly simple.
Yeah. Yes.
They are so simple. It's like a romance or it's a town against something. There, if you write down the plot of a lot of musicals, you can probably do it in about 5 sentences and that's it. Why they're 3 hours long is because you're taking each moment and expanding it to song length and each, you know...
You really sit in the emotionality of each moment.
Yes.
Which is often why they're so impactful is because the story writer had no choice but to really dive deep into the meaning of each moment and get and wring depth out of it. And like, as opposed to... You know, you can watch an action movie that takes place over 6 weeks and has a million events and you can feel nothing. And you can watch a play that takes place in real time and feel everything.
Yeah. I think that's why musical improv is so perfect for improvising musicals, because also musicals themselves are born from lots of different styles, including vaudeville, which was lots of different acts, right? And so you have your variety song or your, you know, like I... wasn't sure how it would play, but I wanted to do the canary thing because it was something that popped in my head and it was something in the world and I thought it would be fun and I really enjoyed playing that scene. But I had judged it for a second, you know, before I made that move, I was like, is this too big of a swing? Is this, you know, we were already got all these human characters. Is this whatever? And then I thought, what? Who cares? Like, let's just go. Let's have
it ended up being so funny.
Yeah.
And so fun.
Let's have a variety moment. I think that was a challenge at the end for me because I really, really wanted to come back and bring it back. And I don't know that it like needed to be in that scene, but like it's the fun of it, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
Endings are hard. I mean, that's where musical improv as a form can fall apart. Yeah. It's like, because, you know, true narrative release, mm-hmm. you know, catharsis is not just putting all the characters in the last
on one scene and there they go and
But it has the shape of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of has like the same silhouette.
And I feel like as an audience member, and maybe not everyone has this opinion, but I feel like as an audience member, I do kind of want to see those things come back. Yeah, even if it doesn't always work. Yeah. It's like, well, I, you know, it's like, oh, all the toys, you know, all the toys that we met, all the people we met, they're back, you know.
It's especially easy when you're, as an audience member, when you're watching it too, to clock those things sometimes before the improvisers do, or you just hold on to it because you're obviously not thinking about maybe like doing the physicality, singing your songs. So you're just kind of thinking about some random thing that you're like, I hope that comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. The audience has a way better sense of the big picture than you ever can.
Yeah.
And if you can surprise them within the big picture, that's when you win them over. Because it's like, oh, I knew more than you.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't even out there.
Yeah.
What about challenges? We talked about challenges. Or at least things that we're
working on.
So let's finish up with things that are exciting you, or that you're just feeling juiced about.
I love when I see a smile creep onto the face of someone I'm improvising with. Like, it is play, and it, you know, we don't get to do that as adults all the time unless you're constantly improvising. But it's just so fun to delight someone and so to like turn and be delighted. So that sort of thing, like today was a perfect example of like looking over at you and looking over at D'Angelo and seeing you smile or seeing you enjoy something you're doing. It's just the best feeling in the world. Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's nice to get laughs and applause and all that stuff. But I think if we're going to go back to kind of the comparison to magic, my grandfather was a magician and my father, it kind of trickled down to us a little bit. So I have some perspective on magic, but like when you are a magician, those are the ones who appreciate magic the most, you know, cards and stuff, that kind of magic. And like, I feel that way as an improviser, like when I can get my fellow improvisers to smile and, you know, laugh, they know the work I'm doing and I'm putting into it. And that is just the best feeling ever.
Yeah. That's such an interesting perspective we haven't heard yet on the pod about improvising for other improvisers and how affirming that can be, as opposed to how scary or judgment-filled it can feel. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that it is also beautiful because it's like, you know, you can't be a hack, so to speak. Like, they're there with you. And if you're open-hearted and you're playing you're playing in an open-hearted way, they're going to really resonate with that, and they're going to laugh and have a good time with you, and it's very playful. What about you, D'Angelo?
Yeah, very similarly. I love to jam. It's so much fun, and especially once you lock in as a group, you lock into a song, and y'all just feel the energy of knowing you're on the same page, you're knowing what you're singing, you're knowing what you're singing about too. Where
and
everyone
when you
can
say
add.
Jam, you mean like basically play like pickup with a bunch of strangers. Like musical improv, but like with pickup basketball.
Yes, very, very much so. And you feel it lock in, and just you have your little moments where you can add. Everyone can just add something to the inside the pot of whatever song you're performing. And again, like what David said, it's I love performing with friends and performing with people. And it's a great melding of the minds, and it just feels so satisfying to get that out there. And when it hits, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to add before we go?
Just, I mean, with this set, I think an example of that is like when, you know, we kind of brought it back to the theme park. Seeing in your eyes that you're getting back to, you know, referencing Knott's or bringing it back to a theme park. Like that's the other joyful moment too, is like when you can see it with your scene partners, oh,
that's
here
we
go.
Going,
I can't wait to do this.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this talk back, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Have a good day.
It was so much fun.
Bye.
Bye.